Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 14 in the NFL. Thanks for joining us. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, alongside, as always, Gary Gramling and Mitch Goldich. Hope you guys had a nice Thanksgiving. I was 0-3 with my best bets last week, so it was ugly. Gary, what was your best bet record?
3-3. Thanksgiving was great. I hit my two Thanksgiving bets, but Sunday, we were just saying Sunday was a bloodbath for us. It was rough.
Yeah. Classic Jimmy judging his Thanksgiving based on his football picks.
Well,
I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I was 0-3. I had a very nice Thanksgiving. Loved the holiday and then went 2-3 on my
football. 2-3.
Picks,
oh, so we all had a rough one.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
We all had a rough one.
I'm just looking at it right now. We were 2-8 on Sunday combined.
Yeah. Got the Monday nighter, though.
The problem I had is that my Sunday was rough in real life too, not just the picks here. So thank God I got a little bit back Monday night with Seattle in real life. So
I'm very pleased.
The bailout worked for once.
Looking at the standings for the season, I am ahead of Gary as I am 19-14. And Gary is 19-14-1. But if you do the math there, if you make his push half a win, then I've got him on the percentage points. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, Gary.
No rebuttal.
No rebuttal. I was about to sneeze, and then I just said that was God's way of telling me just don't say anything.
If there's no rebuttal, we'll get right into the Week 14 schedule. No more buys. Everybody plays, and once again, you have a great game at 1:00 and great game at 4:25. Sunday night decent, Monday night not good. So we'll run through it all for you right now. First game Sunday, 1:00. The Panthers with a new head coach, Ron Rivera, obviously, as everyone knows, getting the boot this week. Go into Atlanta to face the Falcons. Falcons here, 2.5-point favorites. Big total here of 48. Gary.
Yeah, I like the Falcons here. I didn't think the Falcons embarrassed themselves on a Thanksgiving night. A little bit sloppy, but the kicker had some troubles. They kind of hung around in that one. I'm still kind of buying on this team, not as being what I kind of thought they were coming into the year. But I think they're a maybe a B-minus type of team right now, and I think Carolina is kind of a mess. So I have, I'll just throw out there. I think I've missed every Carolina bet, all season, whether it be side or total, but, I do like the Falcons here quite a bit.
Mitch.
Yeah. Gary, you want to talk about, before the season, I had both of these teams in the playoffs. So, that tells you something about how far off I was as, the Falcons dug themselves a giant hole and then Carolina, their season has spiraled. Jimmy, you mentioned Ron Rivera being out, and so I think this is something we talk about, everyone talks about every year, is there a bump when you get an interim coach, or is there not a bump, or have they kind of given up? This one's interesting because I feel like a lot of times when the coach gets fired in the middle of the season, the players hate the coach and they're sick of him and they're ready for a new message. I don't get that feeling about Ron Rivera. I feel like the players did like him a lot and wanted to play for him, but the front office decided it was time to move forward and look for someone else and didn't want to do it behind his back. So I don't think they get a huge bump. Like sometimes it's like, oh, we're free of that guy, and they play with some energy and enthusiasm, and I don't think they're going to get a bump like that. Kyle Allen has just been kind of a mess. He was good early in the season. We were talking about all the backup QBs coming in and winning games. But the Falcons, they've just been better lately. They have a few extra days of rest because they played on Thursday, and they're playing at home. And I like the Falcons too, so I'll pick them at -2.5.
Yeah, I don't love this game. If I had a lean, I guess I'd go Atlanta as well. I'm shocked by how poorly Carolina has played. But in the case of Kyle Allen, I think it's once you're a rookie quarterback like that, and there's film on you, and defenses can study your tendencies, there's always going to be a drop off, but his has been really severe. And you have to think Christian McCaffrey's just, tired and beat up at this point because he's used so much. So I don't know how much is left in the tank there. So, Atlanta at home laying less than a field goal would be a lean there for me. I don't love the game though. Next game's a really good one in Buffalo. I think this game would be getting more attention if you didn't have San Fran New Orleans at 1:00, but the Ravens go into Buffalo, red hot Ravens, giving 5.5 points on the road here to the Bills, coming off that big Thanksgiving win in Dallas. Total here is 43.5. Mitch.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this one. Like you said, a couple of AFC playoff teams. The Ravens have just been shredding everyone. I know last week was a close game, but they've just been so good. And really, I mean, this is the shot for the Bills. People have been wondering all season whether or not they're for real, and they've stacked some wins against some, you know, average or bad teams, and everybody's kind of waiting for that statement win they lost to New England. And this is really like the first chance they've had to kind of prove it since then, I think. You know, they beat Dallas on Thanksgiving, which is a nice win, but I don't think that quite counts enough for America to get behind the Bills. But at the same time, you know, I said a few weeks ago, I'm just going to keep picking the Ravens until they give me a reason not to. And now they're coming off a win against San Francisco. It just feels like I've got to follow my role here. You know, they only won by 3 points, but they did, looking at their recent games when they were blowing teams out, they won by more than a touchdown against the Texans and the Rams and the Seahawks. And I just think I got to pick them again under a touchdown. I'm going to go for it. So, I'm hoping for a fun game to watch and a close game, but I think I got to lean Baltimore.
Gary.
I like the Bills here. I don't think the Bills give up a ton of points, but kind of for the reasons Mitch just outlined, it's tough to. I mean, it's very easy to picture the Ravens dropping, you know, 30 points on anyone. I just can't really remember under Sean McDermott a week where you went and you looked back and said, like, boy, defense was really unprepared this week. It seems like they always play, and if they are not going to cover this 5.5 point spread, and I think they have a legitimate shot at just winning it outright, but they're not going to cover that spread. It's probably going to be something where, you know, a late field goal or touchdown sort of pushes it over. I do want to mention, though, I like the over 43.5 a lot. I just pulled up the forecast just to make sure it wasn't anything weird. There's supposed to be some weather coming through there on Monday. If Sunday's clear, the Bills have unveiled this no-huddle up-tempo. It's not totally up-tempo, but it's more up-tempo kind of offense here. Josh Allen's obviously playing better, and I do like this number going over 43.5. I think both sides will probably put up a few more points than expected, but especially the Bills side. One more thing on the side. I just want to mention the one betting system I spotted here. Road favorites. 8-game winning streak, December games, 4-23 against the spread in the last 27 here.
Now you're making me nervous. I was going to say I like Baltimore.
You can still like Baltimore.
No, I do like the Ravens here. I know he's played better, Josh Allen. I'm just still not convinced that offense can keep up with the Ravens.
He's going to win your love, Jimmy, at some point.
I know. He's played better. He played well on Thanksgiving. I know everyone is just, you know, they can't get enough of the stat that he has more rushing touchdowns this year than Lamar Jackson. But I don't think the Bills' offense can keep up with the Raven offense. The one thing that makes me nervous about the Ravens, that was a brutal game against San Fran last week. Very good defense. Could see a little bit of a, you know, tired factor here maybe. Obviously, the Bills getting that extra rest playing on the Thanksgiving on the Thursday, and the 5.5 is a lot, but I can't bet against Lamar Jackson right now. I just can't. They're playing at such a high level.
Go ahead, Mitch.
No, I was going to say, you know, we overdo it all the time on, like, who's more motivated, but Lamar Jackson playing against another rookie quarterback from his class, you wonder if he's going to be even more fired up against those four guys for the rest of his life. And so, maybe, you know, I think they're going to be motivated to score points anyway, no matter who they're playing against. But sometimes stuff like that can be a factor. You could see him talking about it after the game, maybe.
I was just going to say, I think the guy's going to be exhausted. He actually had to play 4 quarters of football for Sunday. So.
Well, we'll see how it goes. But I'm not betting against the Ravens right now. Next game is in Cleveland. The Browns, 8.5 point favorites against the Bengals, who got their first win of the season last year against first win of the year last week against the Jets with Andy Dalton back under center. Total here is 41, Gary.
Yeah, I still don't think the Bengals are as bad as their record. I mean, it is tough to be 1-11 bad. I don't think they're in that absolute bottom of the barrel class here. And I think putting Dalton back in there just sort of raises that offense to a sort of presentable. Yeah, like the absolute baseline of competence here. And I think it gave him a little boost just having him back in there. Ryan Finley really did have a rough time. Don't have a problem with them sort of testing him out before they go get another quarterback in the draft. But defense has been really good for Cincinnati. They haven't given up many points lately. I don't know. I'm so angry at the Browns. I'm still so angry that they blew this golden opportunity to go to the postseason because they couldn't hold down Duck Hodges. But I like Cincinnati quite a bit in this one. I think that number is just too high.
Mitch.
Yeah. So the Browns, they still have a very clear path to 8-8 if they can beat Cincinnati twice and Arizona once. And I think they just seem destined for it. And I think it'll be very funny to watch them finish 8-8 and see all the whatever the offseason narratives about them are going to be and who comes back. But anyway, regardless of who wins the game outright, the Bengals only have to cover 8.5, which is a lot easier than winning the game outright. Baker's hand is hurt, which we didn't mention, and don't know how much of a factor that was last week against Pittsburgh or how much of a factor it'll be moving forward. You know, I'm with you on all the Dalton Finley stuff. It made sense to see if you've got an NFL quarterback in there, and I think it says a lot that they already decided pretty quickly that they don't think they do. Dalton, they also get John Ross back, who was really good the first two games of the season, over 100 and two touchdowns one game, one touchdown the other game. And, you know, they've been waiting all year for A.J. Green, who probably is just not going to play, but at least they do have one more weapon. I know we've all kind of been waiting for Ross to put it together his first two seasons, but now, you know, I'm excited to see how good he'll be on the field. You know, I lean Bengals. It just feels like it's a really big spread. Cleveland, like you say, you know, they've just been disappointing all year, and to expect them to beat anybody by more than 8.5 points at this game, you know, I think this is just going to be kind of an ugly, low-scoring, slog-it-out kind of game, and, you know, that kind of a score is going to favor the underdog, especially on a spread that big. So the Bengals, they've been playing okay. They finally got that monkey off their back and won a game. I lean Bengals plus 8.5.
Yeah, I like the Bengals, too, just because of the spread. I think the spread is way too high. I think the Browns... they seem like an immature enough team. They have Freddie Kitchen, where when there's nothing really to play for, playoffs don't look like they're in sight. I'm not sure you're going to get maximum effort here. So I like the Bengals because of the points here. Next game, Green Bay at home, giving 12.5 points to the Redskins, who are in the NFC East chase, believe it or not.
Get out of here.
Listen, they're alive. They're alive. They're hot. They're on fire. And everyone else in the division sucks, so they got a chance here. The total here is 42, Mitch.
I don't know that they're on fire. This is too many points. I don't think we have to spend too much time talking about these two teams. I think everybody kind of we can reach a consensus on how we feel about both of them. I don't think any of us expect the Redskins to actually win this game. You're welcome to correct me if I shouldn't be speaking and putting words in your mouth. But I just think it's too many. You know, the Redskins, like you said, they're better now. They've won two in a row. We've seen them get blown out a few times this year, but they in games they lost, they kept it to 9 or 10 against the Niners and Vikings. The Packers, they just put up a big number against the Giants, an easy win last week. But it's hard to expect that every single week from them. This game just screams to me like backdoor cover is in play. And regardless of how you feel about the two teams and where they're going the rest of this year, I just think that the spread's a little bit too much. And so I'll take the Redskins to cover it.
Yeah, Redskins just three game out with four left. They're in the hunt. Gary?
Yeah, I know. I mean, do we want to go down to Landover? Is that where that stadium is now? Landover? It'll line up for playoff tickets maybe? Just make sure we get them?
They're in the fight.
I like the Packers quite a bit here. I do think the, you know, despite what happened last week, and I did pick the Panthers as the best bet, and when they were up 14-0 early, it felt pretty good. But yeah, I just think they are in that bottom class of NFL teams. I think sending Dwayne Haskins out to Green Bay here against a very complex multiple defense that Mike Pettine runs, I think it's going to overwhelm them. Is Darius Geis going to run for, you know, a couple 60-yard touchdowns? Maybe, but probably not. So I like the Packers kind of running away with this one and sort of just padding some stats in the second half.
Let me just say, I don't think the Redskins are going to win the division, but if they get the 4 seed, we would get a rematch of that Niners at Redskins disgusting game in the rain that finished 9-0,
right,
which I'm still mad about. I had San Francisco minus 10 and they didn't cover. To get a rematch of that game in the Saturday afternoon wild card time slot would be, you know, that would be nice to bet on, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think the Redskins are going to make it 3 wins in a row here. I think the Packers win, and I think the Packers will cover against the Redskins. Aaron Rodgers is not exactly Kyle Allen or Jeff Driscoll from the week before, so don't take the points there at Washington. Next game is in Houston. Texans coming off the win against the Patriots. face the incoming Broncos. The Texans are 9-point favorites. Total here is 42, Gary.
Yeah, I like the Texans. I don't think the Broncos are equipped to take advantage of Houston's weakness, which is that back end of the defense. You know, Drew Lock, you sort of saw some good scripted plays early because Rich Scangarello, the offensive coordinator there, is a genius. But then it sort of all fell apart as that game went on, and Lock's just not really ready right now. So, you know, Broncos defense still plays. They've been playing all year with or without Bradley Chubb, with or without Von Miller, as it were, last week. But I do think the Texans, I mean, what, you put up 24 points. You're probably going to give up like 10 or 13. So I do like the Texans in this one, despite the big number.
Mitch?
So I've been sort of fading the Broncos all season, but I actually like them to cover. I've been high on the Texans all year since August and before that. But I think they have to be due for a letdown game after that win against the Patriots. And sometimes we talk about letdown games and it's just, you know, a team has a big win. But this, I feel like for the Texans, that was almost like their game of the season, like in prime time against the Patriots. That even just like the way that cool trick play at the goal line where Hopkins ends up throwing the ball barely forward to Deshaun Watson to score. It's almost like they saved everything they had. They were just waiting for this one game against the Patriots to go make a statement. And I just think it's natural that now it's, you know, it's actually their third straight home game, which is interesting. Gary, you could probably pull up stats on teams' records in their when they're playing at home for the third time in a row. But I just think it's easy to get a little complacent and have a letdown. And again, you know, we've had so many big spreads, and I guess that happens this time of year when you've got your playoff contenders and your teams that are out of it. I do think that they're going to win the game outright, but at a 9-point spread, I think that I go with Denver to cover that and at least keep it close.
I can't get that stat, by the way.
Yeah, if I had asked you yesterday.
I could, yes. It would take a lot of spreadsheet work.
Yeah, I mean, I probably could, too. I just thought it'd be easier to ask you with no notice or warning.
I like the Texans here to cover. I think Denver's one of those teams now, late in the season, when the talent disparity between the teams is so large as it is here, especially with that Texans offense and Deshaun Watson, I see this being a long day for the Broncos here. They're coming off a brutal loss in Minnesota, then the last week with the Chargers. Of course, the Chargers, so you know it's hard to judge that. But I think this is an easy Texans win here on Sunday against the Broncos, especially with the rookie quarterback going on the road now. We continue with the Vikings at home, giving 13 points to the Lions, who are on their like 50th quarterback. The total here now is a 43.5. Mitch.
Yeah. You know, I'm ready to cede the floor to Gary. I think he owes David Blau an apology. I've been sitting here all season listening to you rip David Blau, and finally he gets on the field. And this is not what happened?
All those I hate David Blau buttons
that
I made up.
This whole time, you've been anti. David Blau. Jokes on us. He was good. He looked pretty good early, especially early on in Thanksgiving. I was surprised by how frisky they were in that game against the Bears. Even, you know, I don't think they're that good. They're 3-8-1. And remember, this is the team they started 2-0-1. So they've now lost 8 of their last 9. The Vikings are much better. I do like them. Even though they lost to the Seahawks, I did like what I saw from them. You know, and they did have a shot at the end there. I don't know. I feel like every single game so far, there's been a big spread and I've been taking the underdogs to cover. This is a game. It wouldn't surprise me if the Vikings win by 2 touchdowns here or more, but I just don't think I can pick it. I'm looking at the Lions results here. They haven't lost by 14 points all year. Their last 5 games, which they've lost all of them, they lost by 4, 3, 8, 7, and 7. And it just feels like a strange line. Like it's a little bit too high, even after we did see. I would get it if this was the line on Blau's first start and we knew nothing about him. And I don't want to overreact to one game, which again, they did lose. But still, I just think this line's a little bit too high. And for like the 15th time in a row here, this is a game. I don't think any of these are best bets for me at the end of the pod. But this is another one where I just think the spread's too high and I'll take the underdog to cover.
Gary?
I have a Vikings lean. I think, Mitch, maybe you were a little bit blinded to the fact that Mitchell Trubisky was coming out for every other series in that Thanksgiving game. Even though Trubisky did bring it back late, good for him. I'll just a couple things on the Vikings that kind of will prevent me from best betting them. First, the good one is they are 8-0 at home the last two seasons. That's 8-0 against the spread when the total is between 42.5 and 49. So like a mid-level scoring game here. They just kind of have letdowns every once in a while. And they're also a team that if they get a double-digit lead, they'll just run it. They'll run it, whether they have Dalvin Cook or not. I mean, Alexander Mattison is a very good back as well. So I could definitely see them jumping out like, you know, it's 27-14 or whatever, and they just run it throughout the fourth quarter, field goal or two late, and that ruins your cover there. But
just keep going. Our producer sneezed. There's no reason to.
That's never happened
before.
Let's
just break the.
I have never heard Shelby sneeze.
Our producer Shelby sneezed. That's what you heard, and we're just going to keep rolling.
Gary had under 0.5 sneezes from Shelby for the season.
I think Gary was more unprofessional than Shelby. Shelby just sneezed, then you stopped.
It just kind of shocked me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, a little God bless you would have been nice.
Yeah, that's the other. I was flabbergasted.
You didn't know whether to God bless you or yeah.
Gary is bright red right now.
I feel bad. I feel like I threw the whole thing off tempo. And
well, you did. You stopped talking.
Vikings.
All right.
Vikings.
I don't really have a lean here. I do like the over. I do think the Viking defense is really not that good this year. And what's the story with Dalvin Cook? Is he...
He says he's going to play.
All right.
I don't know if I buy it. Like I said, Alexander Mattison is really
Yeah, he was
good.
Really good in that game. I like the over here. I think the Vikings at home usually put up a lot of points, and I could see the scoring here being up in this one. So total's only 43.5. I like the over there. Big game here at 1:00. The Niners last week in Baltimore. Now they still make another road trip in back-to-back weeks, go into New Orleans to face the Saints. The Saints are 2.5-point favorites. The total is 44. Gary, your thoughts on the big one in New Orleans?
Yeah, I don't know. That number's good. That's a good number. I do think the 49ers are better than the Saints. Obviously, they're on the road here. We'll see. I think both quarterbacks are flawed in different ways. I really don't know if Drew Brees can do a whole lot against this 49ers defense that just sort of no one's been able to throw on this year. So we'll see how that plays out. I'd lean 49ers, but like I said, I think that's 2.5 is a real good number here.
Well, when you say good number, but you're leaning Niners?
Leaning Niners.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you say good number, you mean?
I mean, it's right. I was hoping the 49ers coming east after a loss,
right.
You know, whatever. I guess the Seattle game was like a couple weeks ago. I thought it might be like 3.5 or 4 for New Orleans.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah.
All right, Mitch.
I think I feel the same as Gary on this game. You know, and again, it's always so hard. You look at how a team's playing now, and you don't want to overreact to 1 week. And I just think a week ago at this time, we were talking about how good the Niners looked against Green Bay, and we were talking about them clearly being the best team in the NFC, and I know there have been like 3 or 4 really good teams. Really what this game does is it makes me realize how difficult this podcast is going to be come NFC playoff time, because there are so many good teams and these are all going to be a bunch of good games. I really love how much fun the NFC is and has been all year.
You're just going to pick against Washington when they're in the playoffs.
Right, that's the plan. But, you know, I just, again, it's very similar to Gary. It's like this is a great number and it's a great game, but I just think that the 49ers have been a little bit better all year. 2.5 leads you to believe that these teams, you know, the line, like they're about even if they were on a neutral field, or maybe the Saints have a point if home field is still worth 3 points. But I just think that how we've talked about the Niners all year, you know, I think the Saints, I could see them losing this game and then going and running the table and still finishing 13-3, and it's like barely a blip. And we don't talk about this until they face each other again in January. But I just think the way I've watched them all year, I do think the Niners are a little bit better. And so they're on the road. I think they can win. I lean that way. But even, you know, 2.5 points, maybe something happens in the kicking game and you steal a game or, you know, lose it by 2 points or whatever. So I have a lean to the 49ers as well.
Yeah, I don't have a lean here. I'm looking forward to the game, but I don't. For me, it's a stay away when it comes to betting on both ends of it, side and total. I was gonna say I like the Saints for the reasons. I mean, Gary went Niners and he laid out the reasons why I sort of would maybe lean Saints because I think it's the back to back road games for the Niners. Rough loss last week. It was a very physical game. Go into New Orleans, not an easy atmosphere there. So that angle. Puts me on New Orleans, but I do think the Saints offensive line is gonna have a lot of trouble with the Niners up front and Bosa and company. I've seen Drew Brees get beat up this year. The Falcons, that one game, they really did a number. The Panthers did a number on the Saints offensive line. I could see the offensive line for the Saints here having a lot of problems with the Niners. So I don't have a lean. Wouldn't be shocked either way here, and I can't even give you something on the total here because I don't love the Niner offense, but there could be defensive touchdowns in this one. It's to me, it's a really hard game to predict. I do like the next game, though. The Jets are at home giving 5.5 points to the Dolphins. The total is 45, Mitch.
If you like it, you want to start?
I like the Dolphins. I just don't think the Jets should be giving 5.5 points to anyone. I mean, there's not really much to analyze there, and the Dolphins are just, you know, Fitzmagic just chucking it up every down, and against the Jets' awful defense, it's not like a bad strategy. So I would take the points there.
Yeah, to me, the Jets have entered that territory where I just have no idea what to expect from them from week to week. I feel like I say all the time, nothing would surprise me in this game, but this is like the official week 14, nothing would surprise me game for me. I could just see either of these teams, you know, winning in a blowout somehow. This one is a stay away from me. I think if I have to lean, I would take the Dolphins because, again, like you said, you know, they're getting the points. The Jets, they really disappointed me last week. The Dolphins, again, they totally came out of nowhere. I will admit I can be blinded by my Eagles feelings sometimes, but I just didn't see that coming at all. Their offense last week against Philly's defense. I would have thought that if you told me the Dolphins won the game, I would have assumed it was like 16-13 or something like that. To see them score in the 30s was a little bit crazy. So, this is kind of a gross game for me, but I'd lean Dolphins getting 5.5.
You'll know what to do in the Jets game next week because they play the Ravens on Thursday night. Gary?
It's it's funny, Jimmy, when you said like Ryan Fitzpatrick chucking up, that's literally what the offense is.
Yeah.
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick just throwing jump balls to their guys out there and occasionally dropping it down to Patrick.
Well, Devontae Parker played out of his mind.
The Eagles corners made Devontae Parker look like Randy Moss.
Embarrassing. Embarrassing.
For that reason, I mean, look, I still think the Dolphins are a different kind of garbage than the Jets. I do think the Jets can cover this number. Is Greg Williams going to be as dumb as Jim Schwartz was last week? I don't know, but I lean Jets here, though you can never love the Jets.
Right. Last 1 o'clock game. It's kind of a weird one. The Colts go into Tampa Bay. Weird because it's Tampa Bay and they play weird games. The Colts go into Tampa Bay. The Bucs are 3-point favorites. The total here is 47.5. That's right. The Bucs, 3-point favorites over the Colts. Gary.
Yeah, that total is weird. That total is too high. I'll say this about the Colts, though, and I'll let Mitch give the kicker breakdown coming up. But Colts have obviously kicked very poorly this year. They've left more points on the field than any team as far as the kicking game goes. When you split it up into what expected, from inside 50, from outside 50, and PATs, they're leaving like a point per game on the table. And opposing teams have kicked very well against them, which is out of their control. So if that sort of evens out a little bit, and look, I realize injuries have piled up with them. They're not quite the team they were, but they were right there. They were lined up for a go-ahead field goal against the Titans last week. Gets blocked, returned for a touchdown, and the game swings on that. This team could – you could say it about a lot of teams. This team is like – a couple of special teams plays away from being like 9-3 right now or something like that. So I don't think they should be getting points, even shorthanded, against this Tampa team. The two stats I'll throw out, Colts are 9-5-1 against the spread on the road under Frank Reich. That's 3-1-1 against the spread this year. And that one push was in overtime game to open the season when the Chargers came back. Tampa 6-14 against the spread since 2015 when Jameis Winston got there. 6-14 as a home favorite against the spread since Jameis got there in 2015. And that includes an 0-4 against the spread this year.
So when Jameis is the favorite, he lets you down. That's what you're saying at home.
Yes, especially at home.
Yeah. So I will say I feel bad as though I've sort of painted myself as this Adam Vinatieri hater. I never had a problem at all with anything with Adam Vinatieri for his whole 35-year career.
Yeah.
I just happened to tweet the day after Andrew Luck retired that Adam Vinatieri was going to be a giant problem, and it was just so obvious. Last year in the playoff game and down the stretch, it just seemed like he was hurt and he didn't have it anymore. And then he was hurt all summer and then they stuck with him. And I just said, hey, this is going to be a problem. And then I've just been retweeting myself and adding to this thread every single week for the whole year. I'm sorry. He had a great career. It's just I thought it was a mistake. They held on a year too long. But now they've finally made a change. Let's talk about Tampa. I don't know how many people, if you listen every week, perhaps you remember what I've said about Tampa. I'm ready to accept at some point. I may have to acknowledge that I was wrong about them. But my strategy of picking against the Bucs every single week and then at the end of the season coming out on top was very scientific. And it doesn't work if you bail on it or lose faith in the middle of the year. I knew that this would be a roller coaster. I knew that the Bucs would win some games and make me look stupid, and that's fine. I have been prepared to ride it out. The Colts have finally changed a kicker. I'm sticking with my plan of betting against the Bucs. Give me Colts +3.
I like the Bucs here. I think
perfect response.
Yeah, I think they just play these weird games when you don't think they're going to win and cover. They do. I think the Colts miss Marlon Mack with that broken hand. Yes, Vinatieri has been an enormous problem for the Colts and has cost them week in and week out. But I'm not sure Chase McLaughlin's going to go in there and basically be Sebastian Janikowski for the Colts here. I don't know. I see the Bucs just pulling out one of these weird games for no reason. I don't have any other scientific.
That's always how the Bucs win,
right,
though.
Exactly.
There's no logical wins that
they have. That's why I like them.
I like that Sebastian Janikowski was your random.
Well, he's one of the best kickers of all time.
I don't know. I just enjoyed that he was the savior kicker that you. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Oh, I think he is.
I'd love it if they put him in.
They should.
It'd be awesome.
That wraps
it's
up
tough
the
for a kicker to get in.
Yeah, that wraps up the 1 o'clock slate for Sunday. We will now go to the 4 o'clock games. We've got kicking things off a disgusting game in Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew back in for the Jaguars. The Chargers come in as 3-point favorites. Total here is 43, Mitch.
Yep. I am looking around on the Jaguars bandwagon, and turns out I'm all alone. The last one here, I will get off at this stop. I hung on to them for sure too long, and then 4 weeks in a row, they just didn't show up. I definitely overestimated them, and as much as I hate picking the Chargers, I think I have to admit now it's the time. Minshew is in for Foles, but it's hard to imagine that makes too much of a difference, just the way their season has gone, and I think they just seem done, and they're checked out and ready for the offseason. The Chargers, they seem to always find a way to lose, but I don't think that they're going to be 4-12 at the end of the season. Like, I think they're going to win another game or two at some point, and this one just screams of that game that they're going to find a way to win. So I will I'll take the Chargers here and stop picking the Jags week after week, which I think I'm guilty of doing.
Gary?
This game's just brutal. I don't know who rolls their eyes more with the Minshew stuff, you or me, Jimmy. But
well, this is a bad combo because it's Minshew and the Chargers who I say week after week I don't bet their games anymore. So I have nothing to say on it. So when you're done, we'll move on to the next game.
I'll just throw out a stat. I'll lean Chargers and the stat I'll throw out. They're 30-6 against the spread all time against the AFC South, which obviously is a lot of Phillip Rivers games. So
that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
30-6. That's I not watching one play of this game, and I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist. Next game at 4:00, the Steelers go into Arizona as 2.5-point favorites against the Cardinals. The total here is 43. Gary.
Yeah, well, this Duck Hodges stuff is ridiculous. He's going Fitzpatrick style throwing to James Washington, but he only does it like 2 or 3 times a game, and it just always kind of works out for them. I really dislike the Cardinals as well. I'm taking the under in this game. I don't think either team is the only really good unit in this game, the only even kind of good unit in this game, is that Steelers defense. I think Kyler was such a disaster last week. I don't think they're going to let him put the ball in danger. And obviously, I don't think the Steelers are going to run away with the Duck Hodges stuff again this week. So I'll take the under 43 and point out Steelers are 17-3 under. 17 of the last 20 games have gone under when they're on the road. So I'll do that. And I guess, because I think both teams just are underwhelming, I will take the points in Arizona.
Mitch?
A little Cardinals hate from you, Gary, but they were 7-3-1 against the spread going into last week. I picked them a few times, and I think I had them as underdogs, and they covered and lost anyway, but they were sort of like my hidden secret that I was enjoying betting on them, and then I did last week as a best bet, and they totally just no-showed against the Rams. But this is a game, I think there are a few games where I think one team is just clearly better than the other and the spread is under a field goal. And when that's the case, I think you just go with the better team. You talked about the Duck Hodges to James Washington connection, which I've enjoyed. I think it seems clear that Duck is definitely better than Mason Rudolph. And I think if you want proof of how clear it is, it's how openly Mike Tomlin is talking about his disdain for Mason Rudolph. It's like he made one joke one time about, oh, he hasn't killed us yet. And then Duck has played well enough that he has returned to that joke a few times, which, like, imagine if he gets to a point where, like, if Duck gets hurt and he has to have Mason Rudolph come in and start a wild card game after everything he's said. It's really amazing to me. They might get Juju back. The Steelers are a team we monitor the injury report every week to see Juju and James Conner and Jalen Samuels, but I don't think they're going to get running backs back, but they could have Juju. Remember, Marquise Pouncey comes back from his suspension. So the Steelers, they're 7-5. After this game, they go Bills, Jets, Ravens. So I think they know how important this game is if they're going to get a wild card spot. I think they're going to show up. I think they're going to win, and so I'm happy to pick them to cover -2.5.
I like the under here. I think the Steeler defense will contain Kyler Murray, and I don't think Duck Hodges will light up the scoreboard there. Most underrated play in the NFL is Chandler Jones, by the way, and I could see the Cardinal defense giving the Steeler offense here. Like you said, we don't know yet about Juju, but they're banged up at running back. Steelers are playing these conservative games here, keeping it low scoring and trying to just squeak out wins, so I like the under 43 there. Big, big game, 4:00 in New England. The Patriots coming off the loss to the Texans, giving a field goal to the Chiefs. Total here is a biggie, 49, Mitch.
Yeah, this is a good one. I'm very glad. It feels like we've got all the good games spread out. It's nice that 49ers-Saints game is going to be at 1, and then this one's at the 4:00 game, so that'll be good. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the Chiefs here. Of course, everyone's going to be talking about last year's AFC Championship game, which went to overtime between these two teams. I think we probably all agree that neither of these teams are as good as they were when they met last year. The Patriots D has been much better this season, especially early in the year, but I still have some concerns about their offense. It feels like, we've beaten this to death, and also every sports show in the world has been talking about the Patriots offense all season and talking about them, so it's sort of like a lot of it's just talked to death. I think the game really, it comes down to whether or not the Patriots defense can stop Mahomes. Last year, they just outscored him. It was 37-31 in overtime, and you've got to assume this is going to be a lower-scoring game than that was. The total's 49, which is almost 20 points lower than last year's final score. The Patriots, they started 8-0, but the last four games, they have definitely been less impressive. Remember, they had those two like bad weather games that they won, low-scoring, close games in the teens, and it kind of felt like that Texans game was coming where they were going to lose one of these. So, you know, they lost to Lamar Jackson. They lost to Deshaun Watson, and I think they could easily lose to Patrick Mahomes. We're going to hear a lot about Andy Reid and Bill Belichick and their history. And, of course, they played each other in the Super Bowl when Reid was coaching the Eagles. But looking at their history just since Reid went to Kansas City, the Chiefs are 0-2 against New England in the playoffs. But they're 2-1 in the regular season. And the loss was 43-40 last October. So, you know, it could easily be a close game. I think we're all expecting a good close game. And I think the Chiefs can pull it out. They're also getting 3 points. So, you know, the Patriots are on their fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth kicker of the season. And so they could easily steal a point there. And even if the Pats win, they might win by one or two. So if I'm getting 3 points, I'm happy to take Chiefs plus three.
Gary.
Yeah, I'll just the total is tantalizing. I kind of want to bet the under. We'll see if I best bet it. I just think that number is assuming the Patriots are not what they are right now, which is a bad offensive team and a very, very, very good defensive team. So I would – I mean, look, the Chiefs are capable of putting up more points, so I would lean – Chiefs here on this bet. It's not supposed to be a weird weather game or anything. I probably wouldn't bet the side, but I'd lean Chiefs, and I'd only lean Chiefs because the Patriots are they've covered in 21 of their last 30 coming off a loss. So tough to picture a losing streak here for the Patriots. It always is, but logically the Chiefs are better. They're in better shape and they're healthier, and this should probably be a big December for the Chiefs.
I like the Chiefs a lot here. I just the Patriot offense can't keep up with the Chief offense. They just can't. As good as the Patriot defense has been this year, I don't think they're slowing down Patrick Mahomes. You know, Mahomes goes so under the radar now this year because of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Teams are still not stopping Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they lost that wacky game in Tennessee basically because of special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes is gonna, I think, not get slowed down. I think Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. I think Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. But you know, Mahomes showed you last year in the AFC title game the Patriot defense wasn't going to stop him. The lack of weapons on the Patriots, and Dan Orlovsky on ESPN had the great video this week where he showed Brady basically saying he's done with which receiver was it? Dorsett, because he doesn't run the patterns correctly. Tom's fed up with the receivers. That Patriot offense cannot keep up with the Chiefs. I just don't see it. And you're getting three. So love the Chiefs there. Last game here at 4:00. It's an interesting one. You know, this would be a fun game to watch if you weren't locked in on Chiefs Patriots. But the Titans go into Oakland. The Titans are 2.5-point favorites on the road here against the Raiders. The total is 47, Gary.
Yeah, I guess it's just a matter of, do you think the Raiders were frauds for the first part of the season, or do you think it's just, obviously they had the dud against the Jets, and that happens every once in a while, and then they just sort of, they had some turnover issues. They didn't convert a fourth down in Kansas City, and then that game got away from them. So, I don't know, getting points at home, I'd probably lean Oakland here. I don't think the Titans are going to put up a huge number of points.
Not on the Ryan Tannehill bandwagon like everyone else?
Oh, man. If I had to give it, if I was giving it to Derrick Henry 25 times a game, I think I could do some stuff as the Titans quarterback.
But he is playing better than he ever played in Miami, it seems like. No?
Yeah. It's just a much easier offense to operate. I mean, he's physically capable. And this is – it's the right spot for him. Sometimes you just got to find the right spot. And this is obviously a good offense for him. I don't want to take it. You know, he's having a fine season. Good for him. Well, I'm sure he's listening to the show right now and then making his picks based on this, or at least Josh Shaw.
Josh Shaw, don't bet on
– I always love the let me crap on the guy and then, oh, he's having a fine season.
he's a fine young man. Yeah. No, he's just – to me, he's a – basically a high level backup quarterback, and he's in a good offense, and it's allowing him to make some plays. So good on him.
But you like the Raiders?
I lean Raiders. Yeah. I'm really curious. I mean, and I'd like to know what you guys think about it. Are the Raiders? Mitch. Are we seeing the real Raiders the last 2 weeks? Because this is kind of who we thought the Raiders would be coming into the year.
Oh, I don't. To me, last week game get thrown out. The Chiefs are better than the Raiders. I wouldn't expect the Raiders to. Now the Jet game is alarming on many levels. But Mitch, what do you like here?
Yeah, and remember the week before that they had trouble beating the Bengals, and that one came down to the end. The Bengals almost got their first win of the season against them. So, you know, that's the thing. It's not just one bad game. It's like alarming because we've seen it happen now a few weeks in a row. And we sort of dismissed that Jets loss a little bit as like, oh, well, they were looking ahead to the Chiefs. And if you're going to lose 34-3, cause you were looking ahead, you don't want to then lose 40-9 in the game that you were looking ahead to. So these teams are just totally going in opposite directions. I'm not totally anti-Raiders. There are teams I would pick them against, but the Titans have been playing really well. And, you know, talk about Tannehill. It doesn't really – somebody asked the question, is he better than he's ever looked in Miami? That's not really the important thing. The important thing is just that he looks better than Mariota did running this offense in the first half of the year. So
what do you like here?
I like the Titans. This is another one where I just think they're a better team. Spreads less than a field goal. I know they're on the road, but I'm happy to pick them.
I like the Titans, too. I like what they got going with Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And I like the over here, too, the over 47. I think you're going to have points here in this one. All right, let's go to the two primetime games here in Week 14. First up, Sunday night, Seahawks. Monday night last week, Sunday night. This week, go into L.A. to face the Rams. Seahawks, 1-point favorites on the road. If you count this as a road game, I don't really count Rams games as road games for other teams. Total here is 48, Mitch.
This line is insulting to the Seahawks. I will come out and say it. Now, I know I've been clear all year that I don't love the Rams, and I feel like I pick against them a ton. But the Seahawks, I feel like they just keep passing whatever test you put in front of them. They've won 5 straight. They've won 8 of 9. They beat the Niners, Eagles, Vikings. They travel well. This is in the same time zone. Jimmy, you made the point that it's not a real road game. Neither of those teams in LA are. I expect the Seahawks to win. I'm surprised that the spread is only 1 point. This is, of every game on the board, this is the biggest no-brainer to me. Seattle, I think, is going to win.
I did see a stat. I don't know if it was, I think it was on the NFL Network, maybe during Good Morning Football, where the teams with the top records in the league, out of like the top 5 teams, Ravens, Saints, and Chiefs, the point differential for the Seahawks is so much lower than all those other teams that I think maybe that's why the line here is only 1. Plus, the Rams coming off a blowout win in Arizona last week, so there's that recency factor there. Gary,
but that's fine.
Like?
That to me says they find ways to win close games. Like that makes sense as an argument for a spread being like 6.5 instead of 7 or 4 instead of 5 or whatever. But you know, a 1-point spread, all they have to do is win the game. They've found ways to win games, and you know, so that I don't know how much I get that. I see why you'd bring that up comparing them to some of these other teams, but that doesn't scare me off.
Gary.
The Seahawks make no sense. They are, I swear to God, they're just not that good. They're not bad. They're just not that good. Just the peripheral, I talk about the red zone stuff all the time. The fumble stuff is getting out of hand. I mean, they have 16 opponent fumble recoveries now. No team has averaged more than a fumble recovery per game since 2012. And we talk about the tight point differential, the fact they play in a lot of close games. If that doesn't happen, they're not winning a lot of these close games. And we talked about the Chargers last year. Chargers won all these close games, and it was, oh, they figured out how to win close games. Like, no, sometimes you just, year to year, you just kind of get lucky sometimes. I will never best bet against the Seahawks because I have been saying all year they are really not as good as their record says, and then they just go out and keep winning games somehow. I do like the Rams very much. I think it's a little bit crazy. I mean, the Rams had the game won in Seattle, and the kicker shanks a kick. You can't really say that they outplayed the Rams in that game, but the Seahawks team just makes no logical sense.
I love the Seahawks here. Love them. I think Russell Wilson is playing at such a high level. He's just so impressive. He gets the job done. Outside of batting deflected passes, he doesn't really do anything wrong in these games. I think he's going to give the Rams some fits. And they've got a really nice 1-2 punch going now with Carson and Penny. Both of them are actually fresh. lot of balance there on the offense. I'm just not – I'm so down on the Rams. I know they blew out the Cardinals last week. Good for them. But I'm so down on the Rams. I think these are the games. Seattle, they always play up to their opponents here. I think the laying the one is beautiful here. All right, we wrap it up. Monday night, Eli Manning back at the helm, goes into Philadelphia to face the Sad Sack Eagles. The Eagles, 9-point favorites, though, over the Giants, who are probably the worst team in the league, at least record-wise they are. Eagles minus 9, total 47, Gary.
Yeah, I really expected, once Eli was announced as a starter, that this line would raise up over double digits, but I guess not. I can't picture Eli doing the same thing to the Eagles defensive backs that Ryan Fitzpatrick just did, mostly because Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't mind getting, his face mashed in on every play. And so, you know, is Eli gonna chuck it down? I mean, that was the whole problem with Eli the last couple of years. He wouldn't chuck it downfield. So, look, the Eagles have their issues. The nice thing for the Eagles is they got the offense on track last week. They got some guys back. Carson Wentz actually believes where, you know, the routes that his guys are running now. I think they'll be better offensively. I just don't think the Giants can score points with Eli Manning, even against a pretty mediocre at best defense.
Mitch?
Yeah, I should probably just recuse myself from this conversation here as the resident Eagles fan. Eli, I don't have the numbers against the spread. Eli is 10-20 in his career against the Eagles. So if people, if anyone out there is like, oh, well, now that they have Eli and he's familiar and he's played against them a million times, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come in and save the day. Again, you know, I talked about it when we were talking about Dolphins last week. Just totally stunned me. Every week, it seems like 3 weeks in a row now, we've thought the Eagles hit rock bottom, and it feels to me like last week had to be rock bottom. I have a hard time believing it can get worse than that. The offense, like you said, Gary, finally looked better. A lot of that was guys coming back, the wide receivers and the offensive line getting healthy again. And you've just got to think that the defense has to have some pride and they're going to want to shut them down. And after, you know, all week of listening to how bad they were against Miami, I find it very hard to believe that the defense won't show up to play. And also, you know, it's a much easier assignment, I would think, against these Giants. So this has to be a stay away for me, but if I have to lean, I would lean Eagles minus 9.
I don't even know where to begin with this game. There's no way I'm betting the Eagles minus 9 after what I've seen from them over the last several weeks. Maybe Eli comes in. You know, one of the under-discussed storylines of the season, Saquon Barkley has not been good at all this year. You know, you think, okay, Eli closes out his career here. Maybe there's a little juice, but I mean, the Giant defense is so bad. I don't know where to go with this game. I'm just going to plug the SI Media podcast instead. I had Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk on.
Oh, yeah?
Week. Check it out. Yeah. If you're a football fan, it's a good listen. All right. That's all I have to say about Giants Eagles. Let's go to the best bets as we wrap up the program here for week 14. We went through all the games. Now, let's see what the boys here like the most. Let's start with Mitch.
All right. You guys know that I love road teams. I'm not afraid to pick road favorites. I said it earlier, there are a few games this week where I thought there's one team clearly better than the other team and the spread is under 3. And those are ones I just circle them and oftentimes like them. So I've got 3 best bets this week. It's Steelers minus 2.5 in Arizona, Titans minus 2.5 in Oakland, Seahawks minus 1 in LA against the Rams. I like all 3 of those for similar reasons. I just think better team, they're going to win the game. Expect them to cover by at least a field goal.
What, are you going to nap at 1 o'clock? You got all your stuff at 4 o'clock and at night. Yeah. Mitch going to relax Sunday at 1?
That's the plan. Sleep right. In. Going to be nice.
Gary, what do you got on the best bet?
All right, 2 sides, 4 totals. Packers minus 13 against Washington. The Colts plus 3 at Tampa Bay. Everyone's home at Tampa Bay. then the totals. I'll go over on that 43.5 in Ravens Bills, and I will go under on the following 3. I will also go under in the Colts Bucks game. That's under 47.5. That's right, Jimmy.
Jameis is going to do a number on you on that one. Yeah, 47.5.
And then I'll go under 43 on Steelers Cardinals, and I'll do under 49 on Chiefs Patriots. Why not?
Why not? I got 4 for you. I'm with Gary on the Packers minus the 12.5 at home against the Redskins. I like the Chiefs minus plus the three in New England. Love the Seahawks minus one against the Rams on Sunday night. And I'm going to go over 43.5 Lions-Vikings on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. That wraps up this week's edition of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Good luck to everyone out there with the wagers. We'll see you next week for week 15. Take care.